Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Category 1 hurricane swirling in the Gulf of Mexico. That
Power
is going to work in to parts of the Gulf Coast here as we get through the day today. We're expecting some strengthening. Winds at 85 miles per hour right now, but notice what happens before landfall. Talking about a Category 4 hurricane in the Big Bend area and then quickly working up parts of the southeast. We'll see widespread damage from this massive and fast-moving storm.
Yeah, Angie Grossman from a couple of hours ago, as I noted there, you have to update a little bit of that information. It's Category 2 just clicked over to 100 miles an hour, moving north. By northeast at 12 miles an hour, maximum sustained 100 miles an hour. And we are still, everything has not changed. There has been, the only thing is there's been just a little bit of eastward drift, so it's actually farther away from us, the direct impacts. But, a hurricane warning all along Apalachicola and the Big Bend area. The entire rest of Florida is under a tropical storm warning. I mean, all the way up into, like, South Carolina even. Like, the blue line goes all the way around the state through the tip, all the way back up to South Carolina. And west, all the way to about maybe, I don't think Walton County is in it right now. But
I just saw something flash across the screen that there's a tropical storm warning for South Walton County.
Okay, all right. Here, I'm pulling up the actual map here and see, yep, sure enough, it looks like, yeah, that's
right. With the newest advisory.
Yeah, but Okaloosa County, Santa Rosa County, and Escambia County are still all clear, although we do have rip current and beach hazard statements out, and then out on the water, we have a tropical storm warning, and later on today, we have a high wind advisory starting at noon, you know, I almost said noon o'clock, starting at noon. And going over into tomorrow, I think that wind advisory goes through. I'm just checking my notes here real quick. The wind advisory goes until midnight. Okay, it goes until midnight tomorrow. Coastal flood advisory in effect from 6 this morning until 1 o'clock tomorrow. The high surf warning is in effect from 6 this morning until 1 o'clock tomorrow. And the rip current statement is in effect from 9 o'clock last night until Saturday at 6 a.m. So that's a longer duration for that. But the thing that I keep kind of mentioning is what we're expecting in this area is very little. In fact, as the projections keep updating, we are now not even expecting to get any rain. I mean, we might get some mist or something like that, but we're really not expecting to get anything here at all. And so there's a chance of some wind. Likely to arrive a little bit later than we had previously thought, that it might be around noon, because it had been around 8 a.m. was when we were thinking it was going to hit. And you say, well, why would they cancel school when there's not going to be wind until 12? Well, the buses pick up at 6, but they drop off, or 7 or whatever, but they drop off, right? They have to, so it's the afternoon buses and the bridges. And when there's a wind advisory, you have to make the decision that you make. And, that's what, Karen Barber told Channel 3 yesterday. And, she's exactly right. You got to make sure that the kids are safe during the possibility of a wind.
We are going to make sure that our buses are not on the road if there is a possibility at 20% that we're going to have gusts at 40 miles per hour or more.
Yeah. And, those probabilities, again, have even declined a little bit. In fact, right now, if you look at the wind expectations, we are in the 5% zone. So, 5 to 10 at most. So very unlikely that we're going to get the strong winds of a 1 minute duration, 39 mile an hour wind. We're not seeing that. But this is a major storm. There are people to our east who are going to have their lives changed because of this storm. Hopefully nobody is dead because of this storm, but that is certainly a possibility with the kind of storm surge that they're worried about, anywhere from 4 to 6 to 8 to 10 to, the governor set up to 15 feet. The NOAA thing has a couple of places where it's got 15 to 20 feet. Anything in that vicinity, and it is really, really bad to experience. So you had yesterday, you had Governor DeSantis doing his briefing from the EOC, and Kevin Guthrie, who is the emergency manager for the entire state. He was commenting specifically about that issue of storm surge.
We have talked about the potential of life-threatening rising water moving inland from the coastline along the entire Gulf Coast to the eastern Florida panhandle. Some areas could experience, as the governor has mentioned, 10 to 15, other areas 5 to 8, other areas 3 to 5 feet. I just want to put some things in perspective here. I'll say this comically, me and my brother over here, you know, we're both 6'3" tall, give or take. And, you know, that's a point of reference. You cannot survive that. If you're in an area that's going to have 5 to 8 foot, 10 to 15 foot of storm surge, you cannot survive that. So please make sure that you leave the area.
And again, just to be clear, that's not us, but in areas that that's going to come, or, you know, just think about potential future. We hope it never happens, but if it does, right, and we know there's been past experiences. Oh, somebody, I love y'all. Somebody texts in, I'm getting sprinkled on right now, you purveyor of lies. I know. I'm so sorry.
And I might sound like a broken record, but I will keep saying this. The hazards are going to be far-reaching from this area with tropical storm force winds 250 to 300 miles out. So we want you to know your home and know your zone. More specifically, we want you to know your zone.
Know your zone. Have a plan. Be prepared. But again, it's going to miss us other than we're sending a lot of people over there to clean up afterwards. And, I'll just tell you, it's hard to overstate the level of dependency that we have on so many of these essential workers that you don't maybe think about. Linemen, for example, police who go and make sure that you don't have bad behavior in areas that have been devastated, coordination, water, gasoline, rescue workers, you know, all of it. And even a part of this that, again, it's just you don't maybe think about it an awful lot, but there have been some places, there were several counties that did have evacuations. And, one of the evacuations that you might not think too much about is hospitals and medical facilities. I'll tell you about that in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John, I was waiting until you took that drink, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Traffic's looking good right now. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. Even 9 Mile Road, not seeing any slowdowns. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
That's a waiter skill right there is what I pulled out.
I could tell, man. I got a quarter coming your way.
It's
a raise.
Don't spend it all in one place, son. It's a raise. If you're thinking about changing careers, getting a new career, or just a certification, you want to, or maybe personal enrichment courses, or you want to go for an associate's degree, or you're not quite sure what you want to do, but you know you want to go to college in some way or fashion, Pensacola State College, a fantastic resource for the non-traditional learner, or just all kinds of other things, including dual enrollment. This is something we did not have when I was a kid, but, you know, all three of my kids are taking advantage of it. That means that when you go to high school, you also take some of your classes at PSC. That gives you high school credit and college credit so that when you go to university, you've already experienced some college and also you have college credit under your belt. A year and a half in both of my older boys' cases, and the younger one is just starting. And it's free because you're a high school student. It's free, which is kind of amazing. So go to college for free when you're in high school. Pensacola, Warrenton, Milton, Century, South Santa Rosa Center, downtown Pensacola, Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your future goals at Pensacola State. .edu. I was going to mention one thing that there's a group of people who might not think about healthcare facilities that have to evacuate. When they do, that's a massive undertaking.
We are working through our Agency for Healthcare Administration with healthcare facilities as they are evaluating any of their evacuation plans. As of this afternoon, there are 62 facilities that have reported that they are in fact evacuating. That's hospitals, nursing homes, assisted living facilities, and the like.
Yeah, where do they go? I mean, that's not an easy thing to figure out. It's one of the byproduct advantages of, you know, the New Baptist is built to withstand any category of hurricane, right? So they would not have to evacuate, which is one of the things they built it for, just as a, you know, how things get built when they get, you know, built new. We got 3,500 National Guards ready. National Guardsmen are ready. 5,500, they have surge capacity. They can get to that level. FDOT has removed their travel restrictions based on way stations for responding, you know, bucket trucks and, you know, semis and things like that. Don't have to make that stop. I actually thought it was kind of interesting. I was watching the Facebook video that was put out by Colonel Chris Berthold, who is the CO at Tyndall Air Force Base, which is right over there just west of the tip of Apalachicola, right, like, you know, left of the trigger, so to speak. If Florida's a gun, that's the trigger. Then he was there talking about that, and that they did not evacuate Tyndall, even though some of the counties around there have. been evacuated. And it was an interesting note that he said yesterday.
Finally, I know there's some concern and fear about this storm, but you should take some comfort in knowing that we have not deviated from a tropical storm warning. So we are not in a hurricane watch or warning area. The safety of Tyndall's personnel is my highest priority, and I encourage people to monitor local media and reputable sources over the next day.
And they were like right on the line of where the warnings were, but they did send away their planes. So Tyndall sent away the planes. They did not send away the personnel. You've got Hurlburt at essential personnel. You've got Whiting at essential personnel. Channel 3 is reporting that WAR is reporting that Eglin is essential personnel. NAS Pensacola is the base itself is at essential personnel. The tenant commands are making their own decisions. I would expect. I don't know. You check in with your people. You know, and find out what's going on. We are waiting to find out. I think I mentioned this before, but Can I just tell you, sometimes in weather-related stuff, I feel like I'm repeating myself a lot. Of course I am, but that's part of the job. I usually try not to do that. It's one of the reasons that I don't love reporting on weather, because I just feel like I'm saying a lot of the same things again and again. And if you notice that and you're like, does he know? Yeah. I mean, I'm not dumb. Mostly. Anyway, so the city council meeting tonight is a to be determined, because they're going to have a meeting around 9:30 this morning and figure out. City offices in Pensacola are closed. Escambia and Santa Rosa are open. The Santa Rosa County Commission meeting is supposed to be happening this morning. The zoning meeting, the rezoning meeting tonight that is scheduled is a to be decided. So we'll see about that. I'm assuming that they're looking at, wind, basically. And it was kind of weird watching yesterday how, nobody was closed, and then all of a sudden everybody was closed. Well, a lot of things were closed. And I think, I could be wrong, but I suspect, and you know what? I think I'm going to change my opinion about this. And I've been saying all morning that if they could have waited till this morning, they wouldn't have closed. But with the wind advisory,
right?
Their hands are tied. You can't put school buses out on the road with wind advisory. So that's kind of that. 7:21 here on News Radio 92.3. David, you need something? You wandered in here. Can I? Okay, all right. We'll get you in a second. I'm Andrew McKay.
Wade Men's Health exists for guys who get it done. Let's talk, fellas. You solve problems all day at work. You fix your sink when it's broken. But when it comes to ED and low T, it doesn't get done. We get it. You hate going to the doctor, but you're the guy that fixes things. At Wade Men's Health, there's nothing to fear and no reason to delay. We've been destroying bedroom boredom for years. Our friendly, discreet team of urologists and providers will take the time to listen. So if you haven't fixed this, call us. When the pills fail, call us. If you feel like you've tried everything, call us. Here, there's hope, from the conventional to the next level. Imagine finally taking care of this with no surgery. Imagine going from feeling gray to living life in vibrant color. It's time to be confident. Join the thousands of guys who have found success after walking through our doors. Will you be one of them? Dial 850-266-7020 or go to WaveMensHealth.com to schedule a $99 male performance consultation, including blood work. Do it for you. Do it for her. WaveMensHealth.com. Book your appointment now.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Have you ever made a spiritual bucket list? In Proverbs 30, a man named Agur makes his spiritual bucket list. He asks God to grant him two things before he dies, and his prayer is the only prayer listed in the entire book of Proverbs. The first thing Agur asks for is that God would remove from him anything that would hinder his walk with God, such as vanity or lying. Secondly, Agur requests that God would not give him anything that would hinder his relationship with God, such as poverty or even wealth. More than anything, Agur just wants to be pleasing to God. So what's on your spiritual bucket list? Let your list be all about pleasing God.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
FSU football fans, the big watch party is at Calvert's in the Heights. Calvert's is FSU football watch party central, featuring large screen TVs, clear sound, free parking, and of course, your FSU Seminoles. Join your friends and fans and cheer on the team with FSU drink specials, a full food menu, and the best water view around. Thinking football? Think Calvert's in the Heights, 670 Scenic Highway, online and on Facebook. Go Noles, go!
News Radio 92.3 congratulates the recent winners and finalists in the 2024 Pensacola News Journal Community Choice Awards.
Here is one of the recent winners who can say they are the best of the Bay.
Adore You Salon was voted Best Hair Salon for 2024, a full-service salon with nail, lash, and permanent jewelry services. Help them thank the community with a cut-a-thon event on October 5th from 11 to 3, with 100% of proceeds going to Making Strides Against Breast Cancer.
Congratulations to all the Best of the Bay winners.
Join Robbie Mott from Trek Bicycle Store Pensacola tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Robbie will be sharing his years of expertise on cycling, how to select your perfect bike, best maintenance practices, on and off-road safety, plus the accessories you may need to provide you with the best overall biking experience. Trek Bicycle Store Pensacola on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
The Lord Jehovah has given unto you these 15... Wait. Ten commandments!
Reader's Digest version of the commandments is what was handed down to us ultimately. Joke, kids. Take a joke. 726 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
No accidents still on the board right now, but we're looking at some delays, just some minor delays, as you travel down Highway 29 just south of Burgess. You can see a minor delay there. Also at... let's see here, Olive and Davis, we're seeing some delays backed up to University. But other than that, things are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Donald Trump's presidential campaign confirming details of another rally that's going to be held in Butler County, Pennsylvania. Trump, of course, the victim of the first assassination attempt there during that campaign rally in July.
Literally the scene of the crime.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's going to be going back to the Butler Farm Show grounds for another rally on October 5th. Boeing factory workers say they felt pressured to prioritize production speed over quality. That according to an FAA investigation into the company, FAA Administrator Mike Whitaker told Congress that Boeing needs to do more than improve aircraft safety. And the Federal Trade Commission taking action against five companies for allegedly using or selling AI technology in deceptive and unfair ways. The agency accuses the five companies of relying on AI to supercharge such actions.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. By the way, if you have relatives in Georgia that haven't been paying attention to this, Helene is supposed to carry at least Category 1 up through the first 100 miles of the Georgia South. So it's going to be bad in Georgia and South Carolina, also because it's going to start, I would assume it's going to start drawing moisture off the Atlantic side, you know, into it. So, yeah, this is a pretty serious storm for the folks that are affected by it. I saw a story the other day that... I try not to overinterpret these things, but I will tell you that every once in a while I see a story and I just feel like it's Atlas Shrugged all coming true. You know, just like everything doesn't work ever since COVID. In this case, happens to do with the United States naval ship Bighorn. That's an oiler. Okay, so it's a fuel ship. And apparently it ran aground in the coast of Oman and was taking on water. It's a single hull. Okay, remember the Exxon Valdez single hull? Okay, now this one wasn't leaking oil, apparently, but it was taking in water to a couple of feet inside. Saw the pictures. And it's disabled. It had to be towed in. Not saying a whole lot about this. And you say, well, why is that a big deal? It's the only tanker we have that serves Fifth Fleet right now. So that's what? The Abraham Lincoln Strike Group? Doesn't have a gas ship. Now, you say, well, I thought that's a nuclear carrier. It is, but the planes don't fly on nuclear fuel. And all of the other ships, the destroyers and the frigates, you know, they need not nuclear. They need liquid, okay? So, Diesel. Yeah. And apparently we don't have a whole lot of them. And see, this is one of those like, oh, that's a problem. Yeah. Where's the other one going to come from? You can't send commercial to do it because the commercial need, there's different procedures, different physical equipment, and staff trained to handle all of that. That all takes time to deploy. We are down significantly in our population of these kinds of ships. What was that? It's the consolidated cargo handling and fueling system for underway replenishment operations. It doesn't have in the commercial. They'd have to retrofit it for that. We're short on oilers to begin with. The estimate was that we need 100 or more in the event of a serious conflict in the Pacific. Currently, we have access to fewer than 10. So supply, logistics, we're down on merchant mariners. People don't go into the merchant marines anymore. I mean, this is stuff nobody thinks about except, like, the admirals think about this a lot. And when you lose a ship like this because it runs aground, this is a major incident.
News. I'm CJ Papa. Hurricane Helene, now a Category 2 hurricane. That from the latest forecast from the National Hurricane Center, a storm bearing down on Florida.
We're expecting an incredible, unsurvivable storm surge. This could see a storm surge potentially up to 20 feet. You also have to take into account that we're going to be going into high tide later this evening.
Fox Weather is Mercer Torres in Tallahassee, Florida. Besides a storm surge,
winds, you know, 40 upwards of 50, perhaps at times gusting upwards of 70 miles per hour, and we are now under a tornado watch here until 8 p.m. this evening. So it is a multifaceted threat that we're going to be tracking here.
Fox Weather's Michael Estime in Tampa. New York City Mayor Eric Adams indicted on federal criminal charges. He says he is not resigning. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we do have cloudy skies in Pensacola. A little bit windy. Wind advisory in effect for today. Expecting some wind gusts, 30 miles an hour or more today. And due to the strong winds, several changes here in our area today. Public schools in Northwest Florida are closed. Escambia, Santa Rosa, Okaloosa, all canceling classes and extracurriculars today. All three counties do expect that they'll be back on a normal schedule tomorrow. Also, UWF and Pensacola State College closing their campuses today. And Pensacola City offices also are going to be closed. Flights being canceled and delayed across the southeast as Helene gets closer. As of the last check, more than 1,100 flights had been canceled across the U.S., many of those into or out of Tampa. Nearly 400 flights have been delayed, according to FlightAware. Checking locally, we are seeing about just a handful of some flight cancellations and delays affecting flights to and from Tampa, Atlanta, and Orlando. If you're headed to any of those destinations or just heading anywhere today, you might want to check your flight status before you head to the airport. Defense attorneys for Navy Chief Petty Officer Bree Kuhn's murder trial have rested their case early. Kuhn is on trial for the first-degree premeditated murder of her husband, Colin Turner, who was shot several times while on the phone with a 911 dispatcher in 2021. The PNJ reports that during Wednesday's court proceedings, Kuhn's brother Eric testified and said he heard the incidents leading up to the fatal shooting. He described hearing screaming and things being hit and said he knew his sister had a gun. The jury deliberations will begin today. A 58-year-old Pensacola man has died after a motorcycle crash on Mobile Highway. That happened early this morning. The rider was on Mobile and took the North New Warrington entrance ramp, but then went off the road and hit a tree. EMS had declared the man dead at the scene of that crash. FHP is still investigating. The surgeon that mistakenly removed a man's liver instead of his spleen at a hospital in Miramar Beach has now had his medical license suspended. According to the News Journal, the Florida Department of Health issued an emergency order Tuesday suspending Dr. Thomas Shaknovsky's license for violating state statutes regarding medical care, making grievous mistakes, and dishonestly covering up his actions. The state began investigating Dr. Shaknovsky after 70-year-old Bill Bryan bled to death on the operating table. This was after his liver was removed. Bryan was supposed to have an emergency spleen removal that day. The state order says this wasn't the first incident where the doctor had operated on the wrong body part. FDOH is planning to seek a formal revocation of Shaknovsky's license, and he's also being investigated for possible criminal negligence by the Walton County Sheriff's Office. Well, if you drive past the Pensacola Interstate Fairgrounds, you'll probably notice all the trucks and power crews. They're out staging, getting ready for their emergency response into affected areas once Hurricane Helene makes landfall tonight. The crews are FPL workers and other contractors, such as Blue Lake Services. Their VP, Brandon Buckles, tells Channel 3 they've worked in these areas before.
So we'll be back in those same communities. We already know the areas. We know the hot spots, the trouble spots. So it helps us also get the lines back on quicker.
Buckles says his company's worked with FPL for 6 years now and responded to several previous storms. 735 at News Radio 92.3. And John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. No accidents to report still right here on the big board looking at it. Just seeing some minor delays right now as you travel to Brent Lane and Highway 29. Where those meet right there, it turns into Beverly Parkway. You're going to see some delays at that light. Other than that, traffic's rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will have a chance of rain throughout the day today. Otherwise, cloudy skies and breezy conditions. We are under a wind advisory today as Helene makes its way to our east. Going to be making landfall in the Big Bend for us locally. Wind advisory in place, 12 to 30 mile an hour winds. Gusting even higher. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now we do have 73 degrees in Pensacola. It is 74 in Gulf Breeze, and it's 73 in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock. We have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. And
I'm Nicole Murray with your Now. An executive at cybersecurity company CrowdStrike has apologized while testifying to Congress regarding the global technology outage that occurred over the summer. The company has blamed a bug in an update that allowed its cybersecurity systems to push bad data out to millions of customers. It resulted in grounded flights, took TV broadcasts off the air, and more. Boeing has extended the deadline for the union representing striking factory workers to consider a revised contract offer, which includes larger pay raises and more bonus money. However, it is unclear if the union will schedule a ratification vote on the proposal, as striking workers claim the offer still falls short of their demands. The Swiss National Bank has lowered its key interest rate by 25 basis points to 1%. The trim, which has been anticipated by more than 30 analysts surveyed by Reuters, marked the SNB's third interest rate cut of this year. Futures are moderately higher. That's your money now.
It's the return of 0% financing for a very popular Volkswagen from Peakmore Imports. The 2024 Volkswagen Tiguan is now available with 0% financing for a full 60 months. The already discounted Tiguan S is now from $29,499 with a choice to finance through Volkswagen Credit at 0% for a full 5 years. But if 0% isn't your thing, take an additional $2,000 off the already discounted price for a lower sale price of $27,499. And low rates like 2.9% for 60 months are available on the 2024 family-sized Atlas. Or the choice of $3,000 in customer cash. And the Atlas Cross Sport with 2.9% for 60 months, or the choice of $2,500 in customer cash. The numbers are looking better and better at Peakmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices.
Special APR rate for qualified credit from PCI and a standalone offer not to be combined with customer cash discount. Sell price before tag, tax, title, and income fee. Take dealer for details.
Are you a business owner? Do you love sports? I bet your audience does too. What if I told you I could help you reach your audience while they are at a sporting event? Hi, I'm Lexi with ADX Digital, and I can help you connect with your audience. Call 850-262-6000 and build a digital campaign with me today. ADX Digital is locally owned and part of the ADX Communications family, inclusive of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, and Pensacola's Playlist 94.5.
Join Sonia Duckett with Trinity Wellness of Pensacola today at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Sonia will be taking your calls and discussing how you can reduce back pain and achieve your body goals with non-invasive treatments at Trinity Wellness. You want to look and feel your best. Find out how with Trinity Wellness and the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A northwestward motion is expected on Tuesday and Tuesday night.
But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Ivan 20 years ago. Which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:40 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And joining us, as he typically does on a Thursday like this, Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. You have officers who are preparing, if called, to go eastward after the storm?
Absolutely. That's been planned here for about a week or so. We do have people or officers that will be deployed if needed, but we will sit back and wait until we're asked to go.
That's a, don't rush in, just wait until you're asked, but always say yes if you do get asked, right?
Yeah, it's just it's a waste of resources to go over there without being asked, and then you don't have anything to do. I mean, it is possible to have too many people in some areas. So the best thing for us to do is sit back and wait until we're asked to go to a specific location to do a specific task.
Absolutely. I had a long conversation yesterday with the mayor about this proposed camping ban, camping ordinance in Pensacola that, to my reading eyes, goes quite a bit farther than the statewide ordinance that, you know, doesn't have a lot of enforcement elements to it. It's kind of an unenforced mandate. But, you know, I have a lot of questions about this. But is that how PPD is looking at this ordinance, is we just need to have rules so that we know what we're supposed to do with people who are sleeping where they shouldn't be sleeping or are in places where they don't need to be?
Yeah, that's what it is. It gives us a little more teeth to use should we need it, but it's important to understand that most of the time the people, the homeless that we deal with are not wanting to give us a hard time. If they're asked to move along, they do that. But this ordinance will come into effect for those who just have no interest in doing the right thing, have no interest in moving, and just want to give folks a hard time, whether it be law enforcement, citizens, or business owners. So that's going to help us with what we need in order to get our jobs done to fix those situations. And at the same time, you know, we have community response specialists. We have four officers that work downtown on top of that that go and talk to these people on a daily basis and try to find out what the core of the problem is and look for long-term solutions. So since that program has been in effect, we've helped a lot of people. Some of them even have left town and reconnected with their families because of the work that the community response specialists are doing.
No, I think that's wonderful work. Questions that I have about how this ordinance, proposed ordinance in the city might work ultimately. One is, and this also applies in general to what the state has done, do you feel like you have a place to take people? You know, when you have to remove somebody, let's say if you have to remove them, or, you know, you're offering to take them, whatever, they're sleeping in one of the parks, okay, or they're sleeping on Palafox or something like this, and you need to move them. Do you feel like you have a place where you can take them? Because that's one of the problems is, you know, where do they go to? If they can't go here, where can they go?
Yes, we do. We have shelters, and we have plenty of them. We have people that are ready for that. But the problem, Andrew, is that some of them just do not want anything to do with going to a shelter,
right,
or an organization that will help them. Because in order to stay there, you have to follow rules.
Right.
And no drugs, no alcohol, and things like that. So some of them have no interest in being taken to a place where they can get help.
You know, I thought it was the most interesting thing. I went on a tour of Waterfront Rescue Mission just this week, and I haven't talked about it just yet because we've been occupied with other things. But one of the most interesting things I noticed is that right across the street from Waterfront Rescue Mission, there were, I don't know, 10 or 15 people either in various phases of congregating or sleeping on the sidewalk or something like this. And I asked, I said, what is that? And I was told, well, some people want to smoke. And so they go across the street to smoke and hang out. And some people don't want the rules and the structure. And so, I mean, which is you know, the problem is, what do you do with those people? And for people who do not want to or do not qualify for or not eligible for the shelter, do you have a place to take them?
Well, you know, unfortunately, no, unless it's a situation to where they're in a danger to themselves or someone else, then a Baker Act would kick in. But,
sure.
Yeah, there's a gray area there to where we, you know, you can't force them to go. So it's every individual, every situation that we come upon has to be dealt with on its own, because they're all different. So when the officers respond, when the community response specialists respond to each situation, we have to take into account all the circumstances and make a decision on what to do at that point.
Well, you say you can't force them to go, but the ordinance says you can't let them camp. I mean, the statewide one says you can't let them camp, right? And this one says that they, you know, they have to, it's a fine, $50 the first day, and I think $500 the second day. If they're, like, it says preparing a sleeping bag or other material for bedding to be used as a living accommodation, like, you know, you can't just leave them, right?
Right. Well, the first offense is a civil penalty. A civil citation is issued. After that, then it can become criminal. It can go up to $500 and go to jail if it has to go that far.
Okay.
But our purpose out there is to try to make it not go that far. We don't want to have to do that, and we want to be able to help them find other alternatives than just having to put somebody in jail for something like that. That's you know, the ordinance is giving us giving them opportunity to do that. And hopefully we won't have to take it that far.
We're talking to Mike Wood. He's the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. I definitely want to talk about the car sleeping question, because that was a big conversation topic yesterday, and we've got some new information about that. I'll be back to you in just one second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Not seeing any accidents on the big board right now. I-10, I-110 are actually flowing smoothly this morning. Not seeing any delays on Highway 90 and Pace. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mike Wood with the Pensacola Police Department. One part of the proposed ordinance in the city would be that you cannot stay on a private residence without authorization from the owner. Another part is that you cannot camp on commercial property. Nobody can allow you to do that either. Does this give you enough clarity that you can deal with people who are camping, let's say, on a closed building, or a vacant property, or you know, an abandoned house? Or these are the kind of situations I'm assuming you deal with quite a bit. Does this give you the authority and the guidance you need to deal with those situations?
Well, it can, and the reason I say that is because each situation is different. If you just lost your job and were kicked out of your apartment or your home, especially if you have kids, you know, we're going to get help from them. Even if you don't have kids, you may be down on your luck for a night or a night or two, but there's a clear difference to us when you're down on your luck and you're there a night or two versus being there for 2 weeks and there's garbage starting to collect around your vehicle. So there's a big difference right there, and each situation has to be dealt with on its own.
Yeah, and that's the clarification I wanted to be sure to mention today. Is I talked a bunch yesterday with the mayor about things like, you know, the camping at the Walmart or camping at, say, you know, Bartram Park or something like that. And, you know, sleeping in your car, okay, is clearly prohibited in this ordinance, but there's a subsequent section that says those activities constitute camping. I'm just reading from it. When it reasonably appears to a law enforcement or a code enforcement officer that in light of all the circumstances, the participants in conducting the activity or activities are in fact using the area as a temporary living accommodation, regardless of the intent of the participants or the nature of any other activities in which they may also be engaging. I think of, you know, what do they call them? The van life people, you know, who travel around and sleep in parking lots. Or I think of truckers, you know, like the Walmart parking lot, or travelers. Or I think of the mom with a daughter or a son or two that flee domestic violence and don't have anywhere to go tonight, but they can't stay there and they sleep in their car somewhere. What will the PPD response to this be?
Well, again, it depends on the situation. Like you said, if somebody has no place to go, fleeing from domestic violence, we're obviously compassionate to that, and we will work with that. But if there's somebody clearly trying to take advantage of the system or the situation or the location that they're at, we will deal with that as well. The first thing we're going to do is get a hold of the property owner and make sure that they have not granted them permission, because we're going to hear that a lot, that I have permission to be here. They don't have it in writing. So it's up to us to try to find that out. But if it's obvious that they're taking advantage of the situation, again, with trash and debris around their car, then we use other means to take care of that situation.
Yeah, and I do have a concern, because I've heard from law enforcement officers that one of the challenges is exactly the claim that they have permission, and then establishing that they do, and even finding the owner of the property sometimes is a challenge. Right now, it won't apply in commercial situations, because this prohibits all camping on commercial. But if it's a private lot or house or something like that, it's a challenge to figure out whether they do or do not actually have permission, right?
Yeah, it is. You know, every piece of land has an owner, and again, we have officers that have the time and the dedication and knowledge to go and find out who these people are and try to make contact with them and see what the situation is. And more times than not, once we make contact with them, they do not have permission to be there, and then we have to deal with it that way in order, to get them to move along.
All right. I just want to give you a last chance, because I knew we would talk about this a little bit more extensively this morning. Is there anything I didn't ask or anything that you want to add that, to help people understand either what this proposed ordinance would mean for PPD and for people who are camping and or homeless? Or, just anything I didn't ask you about this that you want to comment on?
Well, we just want to make sure everyone knows, first of all, it's got to get passed. And then if it does, that we are not going to go down there swinging a hammer. We are compassionate. We want to help people, and we don't want to go down there heavy-handed and just start kicking people out of everywhere. We certainly understand that people have situations that they cannot help, but we are also sympathetic to the citizens that walk along Palafox, to the business owners that own businesses downtown and other places in the city, and we need to take care of them as well.
Yeah, and I agree, and I think a lot of the application of this is going to be, of course, to long-term people staying in cars and properties where they shouldn't be, but also, camping on Palafox is not going to be allowed, and this starts to create a framework within which you can, enforce that, which the state is requiring you to be able to enforce that, too. So there's a lot of dimensions to this problem. Mike Wood, last thing we always like to ask is, do you have a cop myth or a did you know for us this week?
Yeah, and it has to do with the storm coming up. And I was asked this week, what do you guys do in a storm when you're told to get off the street? Because I believe it's 40, 45 miles an hour. The chief of police will decide to pull everybody off the street. And he was asking me, do you all sit at the police department and play checkers during the storm? And the answer to that is absolutely not. We have officers that are going to be stationed in various locations throughout the city, shelters, fire departments, the airport, other places. And when calls come in to 911 dispatch, they are going to prioritize those calls. Obviously, we cannot respond during the storm, but as soon as the wind lets up and as soon as the command staff feels like it's safe for us to go out, we will start hitting those priority one calls. And so we're making decisions on who is closest, who has the equipment to get there and get that done, and execute that plan once the storm passes. So we are very busy during the storm, even though that we're not out on the street. We've got a lot going on and a lot to plan for in the hours ahead.
Well, strategizing so you can most effectively respond when the storm passes enough that you can get out on the streets is essential. I personally will never begrudge you a donut, a cup of coffee, a game of checkers or chess, a little bit of self-care, especially for an extended period of time when all you can do is sit and watch how you can't do anything. Can be pretty stressful for first responders. So you guys take care of yourselves, and I know that you will. Mike Wood, Public Information Officer for the PPD, as always, sir, thank you for the time. Thanks for talking with me and our audience. I certainly appreciate what you all do for us.
My pleasure, sir.
7:52 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You might be thinking about whether now is the right time to get the next vehicle, a good quality used car from Frontier Motors. Will work for you for a long time. That's the idea, is cars you can count on. Sometimes, you think I'll go buy this, very, very low-cost car, and then, of course, a lot of times you feel like, do I even know what's going on with that car? And it's hard to figure. Well, when you go to Frontier, you're getting cars you can count on. Cars that they will warranty to 100,000 miles. Cars that they will stand behind 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 years old, a couple 10, 50,000 miles on, something like that. That's the kind of car they specialize in, where you're going to be the second or third owner. But if you like to own, like we do, like to own a car for a long time, you can do that, because those are the cars that are going to hold up. And then, when time comes, your place, you go to find another car at Frontier Motors. A good selection of used vehicles, 300 or so on the lot, sedans and vans and SUVs and Jeeps and trucks and all kinds of stuff. And they're all kind of grouped together, so you can go look at all the different ones that are similar and decide what you like. And I will say this, when you're shopping for a car, be sure to pay attention to the little thing that bothers you. Because you might not think, you know, the little thing would be a big... But trust me, the little irritant that you ignore is the thing that'll drive you crazy for the next 5 years. And you don't want your car to drive you crazy. You want your car to be something that you enjoy, that you take pride in, that you enjoy getting into. So pay attention to the little irritants because they can become big things in the long run. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Climatech, Climatech.
Most people's number one priority when it comes to their home is it's comfortable. Hello everyone, Travis Thompson here from Climatech of Professional Air, your independently owned American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. For more than 40 years, our team's comfort professionals have dedicated ourselves to making your home comfortable, no matter what the temperature is outside. Our state-of-the-art, high-efficiency comfort systems dramatically reduce humidity inside your home while at the same time reduce energy costs. And they're even more environmentally friendly than systems built just a few years ago. Want to be more comfortable inside your home? I invite you to give me a call at 857-4700. Call today or visit us online at climatechproair.com.
Climatech.
For some of us, it's way more than just hunting. Hunting is one of the best things in life, and Jim's Firearms is proud to be a part of it. Let the team at Jim's Firearms help you prepare for a successful hunting season. With a large selection of shotguns and rifles, you're sure to find one to meet your shooting needs. Jim's Firearms, West Pensacola, corner of Blue Angel and Sorrento Road.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. It's Seafood Festival time presented by Fiesta Pensacola. Enjoy the arts and crafts, fantastic music, and of course, the seafood. Friday through Sunday in Seville Square. See PensacolaSeafoodFestival.com. Enjoy our national parks, the Gulf Islands National Seashore, Fort Pickens, and Johnson's Beach with no fee Saturday during National Public Lands Day. Check out VisitPensacola.com for more. Submit your events at NewsRadio923.com.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Tell her she can kiss my grits!
All right, so I just found out that the team from Tallahassee apparently gets here, or at least we'll get to the EOC at about 2 o'clock this afternoon, the Emergency Operations Center in Escambia County. We are serving backup role for them because, as the governor told us, the building in Tallahassee will handle a 5 to the walls but only a 3 to the roof. That's amazing. God, as I've been calling it all morning, they got the LX trim or the DX trim. So anyway, but no, 2 o'clock, they're going to activate to a level 2 in support of Tallahassee. But here locally, of course, nothing that would justify that. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headline. Oh, did I not do traffic yet?
No.
Okay, traffic on the 7s. John Pickens.
Okay. Brought to you by Parrish Tractor, one of the largest Kubota dealerships in the country. You can visit them at 6701 Mobile Highway or online at parrishtractor.com. Still just a couple of accidents that just now popped up. I-10 westbound. Underneath the ramp, we're seeing a vehicle crash there. Also on I-10 westbound, right around mile marker number 49, seeing an accident there. No roadblock associated with that. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5s.
Most of the time. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
I still can't believe the state EOC in Tallahassee is not the strongest built emergency operation center
in the world. Yes. Like, and after all of the stuff with roof quality and roof repairs and roof durability and hardening and resiliency, and you're like, What?
Well, maybe they're waiting for a good storm so they don't have to pay for the roof.
Oh, yeah. All right. Go on, David. That's today.
PayPal is now allowing merchants in the U.S. to buy, sell, and hold cryptocurrency on its platform. Merchants apparently now can also transfer cryptocurrency to eligible third-party wallets. They're making this service now available in all states except New York.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Kamala Harris isn't going to go to the Al Smith dinner? The Al Smith dinner is one of, like, the two only interesting events of this type. The White House Correspondents' Dinner and then the Al Smith roast. Boring.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.